And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com. And you may notice a hint of excitement in my voice, because I have on the line with me right now, making his first appearance since he was on the Christmas show, one of our favorite guests in the whole world of wrestling, Excalibur. And we have, making the return from his learning excursion in the DKP developmental system of WWE developmental, Mr. Rob Naylor.
Hey, yes. What's up, guys?
Dr. Allen, how are you?
I'm good. Fresh off completing the old doctorate.
Yeah, you got your PhD and everything.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I was just saying to you guys before we started recording that this is, you're obviously both regulars here on the show, but this is my first time on the show with both of you at the same time. And I think that could create a great dynamic. I'm very much looking forward to this. And the subject we'll be talking about is one pro wrestling gorilla, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, it seems like the only times you have me on is when we talk about pro wrestling gorilla.
Isn't that funny? It's like every time we try and schedule a show to talk about like Tarzan Goto, something comes up in the way, and we have to revert back to like just doing a PWG show. It's disappointing.
I mean, if you want to do 2 hours on early 90s like FMW and Wing, we can. I'm just saying.
Can we talk about Jimmy Del Rey as like a karate dude?
Yeah, I want to talk about Wing Canemira now. This show is postponed till next time. No, just kidding. Early 90s FMW was great. I was a big fan of it. And Wing. Wing is underrated, too. Wing doesn't get enough talk, but God knows I talked to Bill DeMott about it a lot in the last 2 years. So.
Fun fact about Wing Canemira, every time that Kikutaro or Nosawa come to the States, they always buy a bunch of Transformers to bring back for him, because I guess American Transformers are really hard to find in Japan. And so, yeah, he's a big collector. And so they just come, they go to, like, the first thing they do is they go to Toys R Us. And then the second thing they do is they go to the gas station. They clean them out of chewing tobacco, which I guess is also very expensive in Japan.
Japan is lacking in Transformers and chewing tobacco. It's that's really killed all my plans to go to Japan now.
Yeah, I mean,
vital things to me.
It's just worthless. It's a worthless country.
Because of that. No, they've got those Ribera jackets though. So God bless them. That's good.
They're pretty cool. Excalibur, do you have one of them?
I do not. Never. I've never actually been to Japan. So it's
you didn't have Kikutaro smuggle one in for you?
No, I think you have to kind of earn it by going there and being given the jacket, not necessarily taking it from some, or having it smuggled into the country for you. But the early aughts and 01 kind of ruined the whole mystique about the Ribera jacket aura, because you could go into any indie locker room in about 2002, 2003, and there would be at least three guys with with Ribera jackets.
And why not? And why not? Well, guys, it's a big month coming up for PWG. We've got the anniversary show, we've got a double shot, and Excalibur, I guess I'll put it open to you so far, or put it open to you first. So far, 2013 PWG, what has this year been like for you so far with the company? Because the last time we talked to you, as I said, it was Christmas, and there was all this stuff on the horizon that was coming up, and pretty much every show has received just glowing reviews. And what's been your highlights of the year so far?
It feels a little redundant, because every time I come on the show, I say, we're doing better than ever. But it's really, I mean, we're going to have to crash at some point. But right now, we have not reached that point yet. It's
could that be a selling point for the upcoming show? Witness was possibly crashed.
It could be a train wreck. So you want to come out and see it.
That's a good possible show title. It could PWG. It could be a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? In all honesty, it could be. But, with the guys that we have, with the matches that we have lined up for the anniversary show and the guys that we have lined up for Bola, I mean, I don't think at least the next three shows will be train wrecks. After that, maybe, we might just, we might bring in Wing Kanemura to rest eight matches.
Luckily for you guys, I'm not in developmental anymore, so we're not going to raid any more talent. So you guys ought to be good.
Well, I mean,
you could seriously thank me for at least four of those guys being gone. But yeah, sorry.
That's all right. I mean, it's bigger and better things for those guys, and for as selfish and as greedy as it would be for us to want to keep them. You know, we're very realistic about, you know, our place in the pro wrestling food chain. And so, you know, if we can do things to help these guys who, you know, not only are they great wrestlers, but they're our friends as well, and help our friends actually make a career and do things to kind of ensure their future. You know, I mean, indie wrestling is, it's kind of tenuous, your future. You're basically, it's kind of a month to month, or for some guys, a week to week kind of job. And so if there's things where, you know, guys can go and have a job and put away money and get health insurance and do all that sort of stuff, I mean, I think we're more than happy for that.
The thing that blows my mind is, like, as this talent had left slowly but surely, I felt, and this is like a blanket statement and some other promoters will get mad at me, but, like, I felt the indies kind of took a hit, but for whatever reason, PWG continued to just find different talent and utilize different people that they might not have used before, and then just putting that talent in that building in Reseda just really kickstarted and freshened them up. And I just feel like, as we said earlier, like, every show has been unbelievably awesome. Like, it's the only promotion I really kept every month tabs on when I was away for 2 years, because, like, it just never didn't – it was always good. Like, and it's been always good since, like, summer 2008, in my opinion. Like, I have not seen, like, a shoddy PWG show since then. So, like – it's just so exciting, and those hype videos, I kid you not, I'd go into work and just, like, Norman, get over here, and we would just, like, go nuts watching PWG hype videos all the time. Hey, Steve Kern, here's a double moonsault press. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was unabashedly a giant fan, and that's why a lot of them loved me there, but, like, I was a giant fan, and yeah, it's fish and fowl and chocolate and vanilla and, oh, well, there's too much of this or too much of that. Yeah, I get it, but, like, to me, wrestling's not black and white. Like, I love exciting, crazy, fresh stuff that I haven't seen before. Like, when I was at NXT, a lot of the matches were very good, well thought out, well put together matches, but, like, there wasn't, like, that freshness or, oh man, I've never seen that before. And that's where, like, PWG was so awesome to have in my back pocket, because, like, I knew if I put that DVD in, oh my god, I'm going to see, like, a referee do a Sasuke plancha over the top rope, and it's going to be freaking amazing. You know, our referees aren't even allowed to have names. So, like, Rick Knox, Rick Knox, and, like, I pulled someone aside, and I'm like, I think it was Rammy, and I'm just like, I pulled him aside, and I'm like, the value of a referee being named, I'm like, Rick Knox is one of the most over people on.
He's got a t-shirt.
I see it all the time on our shows. Like, it's no joke. Like, Rick Knox is so over, and that whole storyline arc of Rick Knox and PWG was so good. And, like, I'm rambling now, but I'm just like, it's just one of those things where I loved just following PWG for 2 years, and, like, it was the only
Go ahead. He's, like, one of the like, with the fact that, like, PWG, it's hard to kind of get, like, continuous storylines going on. The evolution of Rick Knox has kind of been the one staple continuous storyline of, like, the last 2 years, as you said. It's cool.
Yeah, and to me it stands out, because when there's not that many storylines, if you have one that counts, I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have one that really counts than, like, a bunch of, like, aimless ones. And that's another thing. Like, I really enjoy the lack of storylines. Like, I'm saying everything I'm not supposed to right now, but PWG is a great place that, like, they have stories, but, like, you just always know that the matchmaking is going to be stellar and the right people are going to be in the ring with the right other people, usually for the first time, and then, like, it's just going to be, you know, an unbelievably fun show where you're not just mired in, like, worrying about character development or story. And I understand you need that too, but, like, these characters, they're, like, everyone in PWG is a character to that audience. They don't have, like, they didn't make character pitches and give it to creative, but every guy that walks through the curtain at PWG connects with somebody in that crowd just on, like, a visceral, real level, and that's what I like, too. But, again, rambling.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest difference. I mean, obviously, our guys are, you know, when they're in PWG, they're not wrestling for TV. They're worried about those, you know, 500, how many ever people crammed into that little building, and they're worried about making a connection with those people. And once they win over the crowd, then they're golden. You know, I mean, it's like, and you know, that's the biggest obstacle for guys. You talked about keeping it fresh and, you know, losing so many guys and still managing to have awesome shows. It's because PWG has become a place where people want to work. I mean, I think a little bit of it is that guys have gone on to bigger and better things, not just with WWE, but also Japan and stuff like that. So younger guys see that as an opportunity, but also they see it as a place where, like, you know, these guys in PWG are having fun with wrestling. This is everything that I loved about wrestling when I got into it. And for one reason or another, I'm not finding it elsewhere. So I want to go there. I want to have fun with it. And I want to connect with the crowd. And, you know, when they do connect with the crowd, I mean, you could just tell that, you know, the crowd will be a little tentative for the first few minutes of the match. But as soon as, you know, that first or second sequence really clicks, the crowd just, you know, instantly is like, yes, we want to see more of you. We want to see you do everything that you wanted to do, and now do it for us.
Oh, yeah, I remember right before Trent Beretta went out there, I remember talking to him, and I was so former Trent Beretta, I remember being so excited. Trent, exactly. I just remember being so excited. I'm like, dude, wait till you show up in Reseda. I'm like, I can't even explain it to you. I'm like, this building, the fans, the atmosphere, all the wrestlers just pushing each other. I'm like, it's going to be like a culture shock for you. And I was so glad when he went out there, and I'm glad he's going back, and he's going to be in Bola, I believe. So, like, I'm really excited about that too. But, like, it's – like you said, like, it's a fun, F-U-N, fun place to just not only work, apparently, and I've never worked there, but, like, to work, but, like, also just so fun to watch, you know, and – I'm excited to go back there. The August 9th show, ironically, is on my birthday, and I'm running like a mixed martial arts show that day, of all things. But
not fighting in it, no.
No, thank God. But then the end of the month is also busy for me. But I want to go out either in October or November because it's been too long, and I just definitely got to go back to a PWG show live. And that's a cool thing too. They've just cultivated and fostered such an awesome thing right now that I have friends in New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and like they fly out to LA, not just to go and like have in and out, but like they fly out to LA and like they want to see a PWG show. To me, I make so many correlations, and I know everyone's going to go, oh God, but like the original ECW from like 93 to like 96, like in Viking Hall, that was like Mecca to a lot of wrestling fans.
And Viking Hall.
I know. We're going to call it the XPW arena next.
You know what? Alhambra. But no, Viking Hall was like this awesome place where everyone wanted to go to see wrestling. Everyone wanted to go and win those fans over. And I just correlate that immediately to Reseda right now. Like Reseda's like this awesome venue. Everyone wants to go there, both workers and fans, and yeah, I think I've like verbally BJ'd the company enough, but like it's so good. Like I absolutely love PWG.
Yeah, like I'm at the point where I'm pretty much going to WrestleMania most years now, and when I hear the talk of like where WrestleMania is going to be, it's like I think my favorite possible venue of where WrestleMania could be would be Reseda, California. I'd love that if they suddenly said, oh yeah, WrestleMania 31 is going to be in Reseda, and tickets are going to be limited, but first come, first serve. I'd be right there, top of the line, getting into that. But I have a question for both of you, same question. And Rob, one of the first times I remember hearing you on the Joe Gagne podcast and making me think, you know, this Naylor fellow, he sure likes his wrestling. He gets me excited about watching wrestling. Was when you just, as you said, verbally BJ'd the Motor City Machine Guns versus Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black match for about 15 minutes, and poor Joe probably didn't say a word during the whole time, and it was an incredible match. And what for each of you has been the match this year in PWG that has been the one where you could just like go on and on about how great it was? Maybe Excalibur, if you want to start first on this.
Actually, Rob, if you want to start, because there's a lot of matches that come to mind for me. I have to narrow it down to just one.
Well, I have an anecdote too. That match with Do It For Her against what was it? Do It For Her against the Machine Guns. That match was very famously, and I love that I'm tying all this together now, very famously handed to CM Punk by me, and he was watching it on an airplane is a story. And basically the story was there was a Ronin match.
Ricky Steamboat story, yeah.
And there was a Ronin match, and Ricky Steamboat walked by, and he swore to God that Ronin was the worst wrestler he'd ever seen.
Oh, no. Poor Ronin.
It killed me to work with Ricky for like a year and a half, and I love him to death. He's one of my favorite people, and I could do a whole show on just Ricky, and he's just a valuable person to me. But like, me and him are really close, and it kills me that I have not brought up Ronin to him yet, because like every time I saw him, I swear to God, it would all go back to that moment where I had this cool little story about Ricky Steamboat watching PWG on the WWE plane as an agent. But yeah, the match that I have to say is Samurai Del Sol and AR Fox against Rich Swann and Ricochet. It's just insane. It's crazy. Completely out of its mind nuts. And one of the matches I just know I remember showing everybody as soon as like I saw it. I was just like, if you haven't seen this match, watch it like twice. It's unbelievable. You know,
it was like in the vein of like the say, I don't know, the Dragon Gate six man in Ring of Honor or like famous Michinoku Pro Tag. It's like the tag which showcases these guys better than anything else they've done. It's just a perfect showcase of what they do in front of the most appreciative fans of what they do.
I talked a lot about the Ricochet, Naruki, Doi, BB Hulk, Tozawa tag, and that is my match of the year for now. But like, when that other match, I guess, was this year too, they're neck and neck, you know what I mean? They're the same type of vibe, same basic, you know, let's go all out and just go crazy mode. But like both of those matches, kids, if you haven't seen them, check them out. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I think you hit it exactly on the head by having, you know, like the Dragon Gate match in Ring of Honor or the, you know, the Michinoku Pro matches in ECW. It's like you have these guys, they work so well together. Why mess with that? Just give them the opportunity to work well together on your stage and see what they do. And that's exactly, you know, I mean, don't mess with perfection, I think, is kind of the key.
Yeah, I love that match. I'm not sure if I've spoke about that match on the show yet this year. I'm sure I've talked about it in passing, but it's just, as Rob said, it's completely crazy. Like, some of the stuff they chain together, and you think they've finished the sequence of what they're doing, and then they add on, like, a couple of more things to it, and it's like, you're just going crazier and crazier. There's one dive from Ricochet to the outside where, like, he almost goes from the ring into the corner of the building he dives so far. And like some of the stuff Samurai did, like Samurai, it's almost a shame to me that his kind of breakout run on the indies was as short as it was, because I think there was still so much more great stuff for him to do. But on the flip side of that coin, obviously it's great for him to be getting the chance with WWE, and I hope he's like, he could be the new Rey Mysterio for me, like, way more than Sin Cara was going to be. And I think he's just incredible. The stuff, not just the stuff he's able to do athletically, but the stuff he comes up with in his mind to do it's kind of the most just out of nowhere stuff that, like, you'd never think of seeing happen in a wrestling match. Like, the first time I saw him do that thing where he dives through the guy's legs and lands on his hands and starts walking on his hands.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the fuck? It's like just insane. And I'm sure there'd be loads of people stealing it, but he was the guy who I guess innovated that and came up with it. And AR Fox was just outstanding in that match, and Swan and Ricochet gel so well as a team, and they've just got great chemistry together, and I love that one.
Yeah, it was an All-Star Weekend 9, Night 1. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't put that out there.
Yeah, a loaded show.
Yeah.
Both All-Star Weekend shows are a must-buy, but Excalibur, for you, has one particular match other than that one come to mind?
The match that really stuck out to me for so many reasons was the DDT 4 Finals with the Young Bucks versus Steen and Generico. You know, that was Generico's farewell match in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, but it was a match that really wasn't going to happen. Generico, when he was headed, when he was headed back to Tijuana for to take care of the orphanage or whatever he's doing now, he was really, really banged up because, like, I think the last 2 months he knew he was leaving, and so he was just going out and just going crazy and, like, just doing all sorts of stuff. And he was so banged up that he was, you know, he's like, I don't know if I can make it past the first round. And we're like, you can't. He's like, no, seriously, I don't think I can. We're like, you can't. And so, you know, after a lot of, cajoling and sucking it up and some Advil and, two tubes of Tiger Balm, he ends up in the finals. And it was such a perfect finals to have him against he and Steen against the Young Bucks, because there is such a history there between not only Steen and Generico, but Steen and Generico and the Young Bucks, and with Rick Knox as the referee. And, you know, also, if you I'm not sure how many of our current fans are, you know, that familiar with the PWG history beyond a year or two ago, but in Brian Danielson, or Daniel Bryan's last match in PWG, he faced Chris Hero for the title, and he actually won. He beat him, and, you know, nobody expected that because they knew he was going to WWE. That was his farewell match. And so I think there was an element of that where people wanted to see Steen and Generico win, even though that Generico is leaving. They knew they wouldn't defend the titles, but it would have been so fitting. And then to have the Young Bucks win, it's just, you know, the Young Bucks are the best tag team in the world. There's nobody better than them. And so if you put two guys that talented in there with them, and then you have these added layers of story and this added layer of the departure and all this stuff on top of that, it just becomes, you know, the perfect storm of just emotion and storytelling and tremendous professional wrestling. And I mean, the match itself was great. The, his farewell speech was amazing. There's so much stuff about that, you know, that not just that match, but that entire night that made it really, really special for me.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in here too. Another plug, the Many Adventures of El Generico, on sale at ProWrestlingGorilla.com. I was given this as a gift, actually. I'm looking at the DVDs right now. Best DVD out there. Like, it's so good. And Excalibur just said that the Young Bucks are the best tag team in the world. El Generico is the best wrestler in the world. He has been for a long time, in my opinion. When he showed up at NXT, I remember I rubbed people the wrong way because someone asked me basically, like, well, who's that? I'm like, oh, well, that's the best wrestler in the world.
You did him a great favor.
Yeah, I certainly did. And, you know, Dusty's like, you look like Robin Williams, baby. But no, I love Sami Zayn is amazing. El Generico went to Tijuana, obviously. But he's so good, and he's such a positive morale booster for any locker room, for any room with rings in it, for any building where you're eating afterwards. He's just unbelievable all around human. And, like, I was so happy when he showed up because A, it was so deserved, and B, he just has so many matches that you could just go back and watch. Like, if I think of, like, the best matches in so many different wrestlers' careers, the one constant is that, like, El Generico was in it. Like, Justice Payne, for Christ's sake. But, like, this DVD, Shingo against El Generico, is
so amazing.
Oh,
my God,
that
match is incredible.
And, like, it's funny because, like, here I am working with all these legendary people, and I just constantly pull Sammy aside and just be like, oh my God, tell me about that Shingo match, or, like, tell me the backstory. Like, I don't care. Like, I want to talk about wrestling with wrestlers who are, like, good at what they do. Like, give me backstory on all this. It's amazing. Like, the match with him and Paul London against the Cutlers and the Young Bucks, unreal. And then a real sleeper, and everyone, make sure you pick up the Many Adventures of El Generico by PWG. Him and Claudio in the last Bola match before Claudio headed down to Tampa is so good. And that's a match which I watched before I got down here. And I kind of watched it but didn't watch it really closely. rewatch that one, everybody, because it is so good. And I know that that's going to be the hot match when it airs after SummerSlam with Cesaro and Sami Zayn. But, like, you want a fun precursor to it, hook it up, Best of El Generico PWG DVD, because our 2011 Battle of Los Angeles first round match, just so good. You know, those two guys are going to be on a pay-per-view headlining in the next 2 years, and God, it's going to be awesome. So
to tie two things together, how invaluable were the Generico Ricochet matches in, like, the forming of how good Ricochet is right now?
Oh, it's insane. I mean, you know, he was a guy with awesome abilities that just, you know, didn't I guess he just didn't have a lot of personality at the time. You know, I mean, his amazing abilities carried him and got him to kind of where he was, and, you know, completely deserved. But then that series with Generico and just kind of developing a character, developing cockiness, and having it happen right in front of the fans, you know, and they were aware that it was happening. They were, you know, this is a different Ricochet than the guy that was just doing crazy stuff. And that's the thing about Generico. I mean, he's the best wrestler in the world for so many reasons. Not only because he puts on the best matches, but because when he is in the locker room and people know that he's on the show, they will up their game. They don't want to look bad on a show with him on it. And whether that's conscious or not, I don't know. But it's, you can see it. I mean, it's just like having, you know, I mean, it would be like having Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali as your boxing coach. You know, well, I don't want to call him the Muhammad Ali of professional wrestling, but you know what I mean? It would just, like, you don't want to look like an asshole in front of Ali. You don't want to look like an asshole in front of El Generico or on the same show as El Generico.
Yeah, he's and the thing about, like you said, there's so many reasons he's so good. It's just like, I originally liked El Generico because he did crazy moves and, like, cool stuff. But he's so much more than that. He registers. He just has fire. He doesn't quit. He doesn't die on anything. He's always fighting.
He's a great brawler.
Great brawler. You watch him on a ring apron, and he'll just engage any crowd he's with, whether it's Reseda or, you know, late-era Viking Hall guys. But, like, it doesn't matter whether it's the hottest crowd in the world or the worst humans ever in Philadelphia. Like, I'm telling you. Like, he always connects. Like, he has just this connection, and, like, just everything he does. Like, I remember even when, like, we had guys like Mike Dalton or CJ Parker or a bunch of guys in NXT, they'd be like, oh, well, we should watch this guy or this guy or this guy. And I'm just like, watch El Generico. I'm like, you'll have trainers telling you, oh, my God, what's Naylor doing now? But, like, he's a good person to watch. Like, he has fire. He doesn't die. He always keeps moving. He does everything they try to ingrain in the students there. So, like, I'm so happy he's doing really well now. Everything's just rocking for him. And like I said, what a swan song from PWG he got, because what a amazing part of PWG. And I know he credits it, and we talk all the time. God, PWG's tonight, and we're in Winter Haven, you know. But, like, PWG always so exciting, and it's amazing because they don't have the iPay-per-view model, which is great. I'm thrilled they don't, because that's what gives us PWG. Like, I don't want to watch PWG on iPay-per-view. I want to be excited to read about what happened and then see the preview and then buy the DVD later. Like, I absolutely love the format of how you do things, because everything's so instant gratification these days. Like, everybody just wants to see everything.
It's nice to have something that, just that old way of, it's obviously not the exact same, but, like, when like a game or a CD or whatever was coming out, and you had to wait for it to come out, and you'd go to the shop and you'd have that excitement of going to the shop and buying it, and not having it just so easily
accessible.
It's something that, like, is lost in things where you can just kind of watch them live or on demand. And it's good that things move that direction, like, for sure. I'm happy stuff has, but it's nice to have one thing that isn't exactly like that.
You guys might be the only two people that are pleased with that, because based on all the emails, tweets, and Facebook messages that we get, everybody wants us to be on iPay-per-view.
Well, they just don't realize what they want.
That's true. Yeah.
Me and Rob are telling it like it actually is. What they really think, but they don't know they think.
They don't know that.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to convey what would be lost if, you know, it's like, yeah, you want us on iPay-per-view, but if we were on iPay-per-view, would not be the same show.
Guys, let's dig into the upcoming shows. We've got a full lineup. I believe it's a full complete lineup.
Yeah, look how well. Oh no, you're cutting out. Hello.
Hey, Rob.
Hello, I hear you, Rob. You're still here.
It sounded like you were.
Hey.
RoboCop that just got shot in the head.
The iron lung. Maybe he fell into that.
All right, we're back.
Can you hear us, Rob?
You continue.
Yeah, we're good, man. I'm here.
Okay.
You were in the middle of saying something. Do you want to continue?
Yeah, I'll try to. What the hell was I saying? I don't even remember anymore. Oh, yeah. I just mentioned how well iPay-per-view was going for everyone because it's been a great success all across the board, by the way. But sorry for my editorializing.
All right, let's dig into the August 9th. Friday, August 9th, PWG 10th anniversary, simply titled 10, 8 p.m. bell time, Reseda, California. And we have a stacked card, as all PWG cards are, with some returning faces. We've got a main event of three guys who have been in around the main event scene now in PWG for the last couple of months. We've got the Panama City Playboy, Adam Cole, who is, of course, the PWG world champion, versus the ace of PWG, I guess you could say, Kevin Steen, and the new fan favorite that's kind of taken over Reseda in the last year or so, Drake Younger. And this triple threat match, Excalibur, maybe talk a little about the logic and thought behind making this the main event for the big anniversary show.
Well, Adam Cole has been such an amazing champion for us since Battle of Los Angeles last year. That was really his coming out party. And, you know, before then he was, you know, he and O'Reilly were teaming up and they were having great matches together. See the ladder match last year at Tremendous 3, but the Battle of Los Angeles where he broke out as a singles wrestler in PWG, and since then he has just been unstoppable. Like I heard that he went he had a tryout and they just didn't get him and they didn't understand what made him so great, and they're insane because Adam Cole is just been on fire for the last year, and he is such an amazing champion for us. And he's such an amazing foil for basically anybody. And then you put him in there with the two biggest fan favorites in the entire company, Kevin Steen, of course, longtime fan favorite, but Drake Younger, a guy who just basically, literally, just busting his ass. Literally busting the back of his head open, has won over the crowd. They see, you know, not only is the ability there, but they see how much passion he has, how much he wants to be a part of PWG, and how much he, you know, and I mean, that is conveyed in everything that he does. And so the match he had with Sammy, All-Star Weekend 9, night one, the, Guerrilla Warfare match was the most brutal, I think, guerrilla warfare match I've ever seen. And the fact that Drake got the back of his head completely split open. Like, it was like if you, I think I described it on the DVD, but if you took a melon and then you sliced into the skin of it, so it was not a complete slice through, but it was about 80% of the way. And so there's like a flap hanging there. And so you could see the inside of like the meat of the melon inside.
Oh dear.
That's what the back of Drake's head looked like. He got it stitched up and he wore his crazy, his gauze turban on the second night. But then he had an amazing match on the second night too, just like hours after getting it just completely destroyed. And he, you know, he came to the building. You know, he went to the hospital, he got stitched up, he went back to the hotel, he's feeling kind of, you know, but then the next day, talked to his family, came to the building, smile on his face, and he was just so super motivated, and the fans just ate it up, because, I mean, it's like that sort of thing is, not everybody has that, and it's, you know, it's unique to Drake Younger, and it's infectious, and so to have Drake and Steen in there with Adam Cole, who has just been, you know, he's basically what the Young Bucks are to being heel tag team champions. Adam Cole is that to being a heel singles champion. And so to put those three guys in the ring together is, I mean, it's logical, but it's also something that we've been kind of building towards just in a kind of roundabout way, obviously with our schedule being a little intermittent and, you know, guys' availability being kind of up in the air. It's always hard to plan those long-term storylines, but this is something that I think we've been wanting to do for a while. And so to have a chance to do it and do it on the anniversary show is really cool.
The thing about Drake that I like the most is, as you kind of got at there, is just his infectious, enthusiastic personality. And I think if I could sum Drake up, it's one picture, and it's the picture you guys have on your website right now, where you always have the rotating kind of cast of characters, the mugshots at the top of the website, and Drake's in there right in the middle now, and in that picture he is smiling a smile that is just, his eyes are smiling, like there's little smiles under his eyes and it's crazy. he may be the happiest, most positive person in the world. I love him for it. Like, he could be the shittest wrestler in the world, and I'd still think the world of him just by his, and he's far from that. He's turned himself into an awesome wrestler now. He absolutely hangs with everyone on these shows, and he brings that extra bit with his personality that just every crowd could click. Like, when he goes to Germany, like, he is beloved. When he goes to Japan, they love him over there. Anywhere he goes, I think he's got his England debut coming up in the next few months, and I'm sure he's going to do really well over there too. So this is just a guy who you can't help but like, and he's a great babyface for PWG right now. So I'm excited for this match. I think it's going to have super heat. I think it's going to be really good, and I'm looking forward to it a lot. Rob, what say you?
Yeah, Drake's just a great example of being like a product of that atmosphere, you know. Like, I watched Drake in CZW and I did commentary there for a little while, and like, Drake was good in CZW, but again, that building,
those fucking Vikings.
those fans, man, I don't know. Like, they loved Drake, and Drake was one of the more over people, but like, when I saw how Drake got over in PWG and Reseda, I was just like so happy, because aside from like Byron Saxton and Norman Smiley, Drake Younger is like the nicest person on the planet. Like, you just want to see good people succeed and do well, and like, Drake Younger, you know, best guy ever. So like, I was happy about that, but like, his in-ring performances, the match he had with B-Boy, you know, the stuff he did, you know, with PWG, and like that match with Sammy that got brought up. I mean, I remember I showed that match to Summer Rae, and she lost her mind. She goes, "Oh my god!" I'm like, "Yeah." And then he gets the stapler, but no, it's crazy. Like, and like,
Rob, what do you do to that poor girl?
To me, I love it when like young talent, especially that didn't come from like the indies, they want to learn about this stuff. Like, don't do this. You know, Summer, put the stapler down, but like, but like, know that it exists. Exactly. Just know that this stuff exists. It's awesome. It's just a different form of what we do, and enjoy it for what it is. And like, I love that match, and Drake Younger is the man. I mean, I love Drake Younger, and you know, Adam Cole's another one. I mean, God, I mean, love to bring this up. I remember handing Triple H's assistant a list of 30 names. Sign all these people immediately. He was top five. Like, then he came in for the tryout, and I know he was well liked at the tryout, and I don't know what happened, but I do know that, you know, the loss from NXT and WWE is the gain for fans of the indies, and for, you know, Adam Cole, you know, still being around on the indies, you know, having fun, doing his thing, and like, growing as a wrestler, you know. Like, maybe it's not his time now, but it could be his time, you know, in a year. No one knows, but like, he is so good. Polished, does everything right, just has the look, he put on size, he worked his ass off, like, good tag wrestler, can be a babyface if need be, but he's really found his niche as a heel, you know, and especially in PWG, and, I mean, I can't get over his development, he's so good, and I remember when he was, like, you know, just like a baby getting into wrestling, but, like, he's just really progressing in a really great way. And then I don't want to do Steen a disservice, because Steen is just the catalyst to like every really good match too, because he's Kevin freaking Steen. I mean, you know what you're getting with Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen's just like the anchor of everything. And like, I'm so excited for that match because Steen interacting with either one of those guys. Like, I can't wait to see Drake and Steen, by the way. But like, you know, I know that just is available now, by the way.
DVD yeah. just dropped.
Is your body ready?
Yes, is your body ready? PWG's, you know, DVD that just came out. But, like, I'm glad I'm on top of these things. But, you know, I can't wait to see it. And this three-way is going to be great, too. And, you know, it's just loaded. And like Excalibur said, what a cool thing that it all just, you know, worked out that, you know, building to that. Because when I saw the three-way tag announced, I was like, all right, this is ridiculous. This show is just ridiculous. And then I saw that announced, icing on cake. Thank you. I was just like, okay, this is too good to be true. And then, like, you know, I booked an MMA show that night. But, like, regardless, I really wish I was going to be there live because that's going to be so awesome. But, yeah, good old –
Can we talk about for a moment about how Kevin Steen is becoming – the Colt Cabana Jr. of like marketing and getting himself out there in multimedia efforts in professional wrestling?
Feel free.
I mean, he's everywhere. Like Cabana has kind of, you know, I mean, he's done an amazing job. The Art of Wrestling is a fantastic show, but he is now doing all sorts of, you know, things. He's showing up on just like comedy podcasts that I listen to. He was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. He's doing all sorts of stuff. And now, Kevin Steen kind of taking, you know, where Cabana is transitioning to the wider comedy audience. Kevin Steen kind of picking up the slack that Colt Cabana is leaving behind with the wrestling community. Not that Cabana's abandoned the wrestling community, but still.
Cabana's going to be on Stone Cold's podcast coming up soon, so I can only assume that will mean The Rock will have a podcast soon and his first guest will be Kevin Steen.
There you go. That's
a good buddy. Hope.
And they'll talk about zoos. I absolutely love the Kevin Steen side projects. I mean, those interviews. I mean, I've always said it. Like, one of the greatest things about independent wrestling is just the guys. I mean, there's some funny freaking – like, I am so sick, and I'm not – maybe I'm naive, but I'm so sick of people saying, oh, wrestlers are scumbags and, oh, this damn business and, oh, everyone's knives in everyone else's back. Man – I had a different – maybe it's just the way I carried myself, but, like, I had such a different, you know, perspective on all that. Like, I got along with everybody. I'm not saying everyone's angels. They're certainly not, let's face it. But I'm just saying there's a lot of really good, quality, funny human beings in wrestling. And, like, Kevin Steen sitting down to interview all of them is amazing. Like, the stuff with, like, Michael Elgin and, like, everything else is, like, crazy. I'm like, I don't know Michael Elgin, but I know him a little bit now because of the Kevin Steen show.
Maybe more than you want to.
Yeah, you're not kidding. But, yeah, it's, like, it's crazy. And, like, I don't know. I'm just going on a rant again. But, yeah, good for Kevin Steen. He's well-deserved.
Hey, there's no one more deserving than him, but – semi-main event, tag team titles. I'll take a deep breath before I say all this. The Young Bucks versus the Dojo Bros, which is Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong, for those who aren't aware, versus the Inner City Machine Guns of Rich Swann and Ricochet in a triple threat ladder match, no less. Wow.
Yeah.
These guys, just in a regular tag, these three teams would be just out of its mind craziness, throwing ladders as well. Was there any more to the thought process of making this ladders other than just let's make it a little more crazy for the anniversary show?
I think that was pretty much it. You know, I mean, the ladder match last year at Three Men to Three was, I mean, it was just nuts. And so, you know, like it would be hard to follow that kind of match up with just a three-way tag team match. So, I mean, I think, you know, just making it ladders, you know, it's, and, you know, the thing is, those guys are game. That's the crazy part about it, where, you know, it's like, it's not like we're asking them to do something that they don't want to do. They're like, oh, yes, please. And so that's what makes it so crazy.
Yeah, that Three Mendes 3 match was so freaking good, too. Like, oh, my God. That, so many innovative things in that thing. Like, I watched it, like, four times in a row. Like, I don't remember the last match I watched four times in a row. I watched that match four times in a row. I was just like, this is – I would pick up something different every time. It's unbelievable. And I cannot even fathom – I'm not sure I want to – what the hell is going to happen when these three teams get together, because it's just a fun, potent mix of, you know, white hot death just all shaken together. I mean, it's going
– I don't –
it's going to be unbelievable. I mean,
I don't recall ever seeing Roddy. I don't recall ever seeing Roddy in a ladder match, and I can just imagine him thinking up some sick fucking things to do with ladders.
Oh yeah, I can only imagine what he and Eddie have in store. As you know, I mean, being the two kind of power guys in the match, it's like the stuff that they're going to have, you know, be able to do with all the other four guys in there is just going to be nuts.
Hey, bro,
and then to have Swan and Ricochet. Just, you know, guys who regularly risk life and limb in just, like, you know, whatever the second match of the night, to have them in, you know, co-main event match, but also to have them in a ladder match on the 10th anniversary show is just, oh, it's going to be so sick.
Then we have a tag team match. Brian Kendrick and Paul London reuniting to take on Fist / Niggas in Paris. Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor.
You said it.
who came up with that team name? Was that them? Was that you guys?
Oh, that was them. That was totally them. And I believe it was Chuck more specifically.
Okay. I figured. Chuck and Johnny against Kendrick and London. This should be just the personalities alone in this match. Just Paul London and Chuck Taylor being on opposite sides of a match is just, personality-wise, that's going to be some kind of explosion.
Yeah, I don't know that they've ever wrestled before. This could be a first-time meeting. But, yeah, just like their personalities. And then, you know, Brian Kendrick, too, making his longer way to return to PWG is – I mean, that's pretty crazy, too. Because, you know, like he kind of – I guess you could say he lost his smile for a little bit. But now with he's running shows in LA, he's got the school open, and he's, you know, he's kind of found his love for pro wrestling again. And then so to have him in there with Johnny and Chuck, who, you know, Chuck made his return to PWG a couple months ago. And, you know, I mean, he's just been killing it. And, you know, the stars weren't aligning for bringing him out for a long time, but now that he's back, it's like, you know, I can't see him going anywhere. And Johnny Gargano, he's totally clicked with the crowd. He was another one of those guys where, you know, he came in, not many people knew a lot about him, cause, you know, I mean, our fans, for the most part, at the live shows, our fans, you know, maybe the only wrestling that they watch is PWG and WWE, not a lot of other stuff. And so they're seeing these guys, you know, not only for the first time in PWG, but for maybe the first time at all. And so, I mean, Gargano just immediately won them over. And so, you know, having him in there with Chuck, Johnny could kind of be the workhorse. Chuck can kind of do what Chuck does. And then to have Kendrick and London reuniting, that's always kind of a special thing too, because they were kind of like the first indie guys to really, you know, make it on the big stage like that.
Yeah, they really were, and I'm a big fan of both Brian Kendrick and Paul London. Here's one for your show, Alan. I'm going to start running shows soon, and I know that I know one of the first people that I want on my shows is Brian Kendrick, because, like, again, he's found his smile, he can go, he's a young veteran, and those shows he did are unbelievable, you know? GQ money on commentary aside. But I'm not just kidding.
No, that's, you're not kidding about that. let's be honest. Let's call a spade here. He's terrible. But, like, go on.
I ain't saying a damn thing. Anyway, Brian Kendrick, I love it. I'm very excited for him to be back. Paul London, so fun against Kevin Steen on All-Star Weekend 9, I believe. I'm excited to see them work with Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor is, again, this guy that just is in the trenches and constantly just doing good stuff all over the indies. And I thoroughly enjoyed him and Gargano against the Young Bucks. It was incredible as well on All-Star Weekend 9, I think night one again. But, God, get that show, guys. you know, Gargano, again, is another guy that when I was, you know, closing up with my Dragon Gate USA commentary duties, he was just a guy that I remember. At first I was like, okay, this guy's kind of like a niece Alex Shelley. But Johnny Gargano stands on his own 2 feet, and he does his own stuff, and he's awesome. I am on the Gargano wagon big time. So, like, the guys with the name I can't say, and then, you know, obviously, you know, the Kendrick and London, what a wonderful melding that's going to be. And again, fresh. It's not happened, not to my knowledge, and I think I follow these things pretty close. So that's like a really fresh match. So like I'm all for it too.
Speaking of a fresh match, oh my god, Michael Elgin versus A.R. Fox. I dread to think what's going to happen to young A.R. Fox in this match, but he'll hold his own. He will give back as good as he takes, and this will be nuts.
It's, you know, the thing is, for the most part, I don't worry about guys' safety when they're wrestling. You know, because, I mean, they're all professionals. You know, they know what they're doing. Nobody's going to really do anything that's going to endanger themselves for the rest of their lives. A.R. Fox, I worry about him a little bit. The risks he takes and the things that he does, and he does them so nonchalantly. That's the crazy part. It's like, you know, I remember, shit, who was it? When Thunderbird, Brett Como, when he was Black Dragon,
wow.
in War, when love he that. Did the Shooting Star Press to the outside on Ultimo Dragon on the big War show, like when he got up there. You know, like he kind of like he crossed himself before getting up there. He took like a couple seconds to steady himself, and then he did it. It was amazing, but like it was still like there was a lot of trepidation going into that. Whereas like A.R. Fox will just, you know, he would jump off a building like you or I would just jump into bed. You know, it's so crazy.
Yeah, I miss that element, that danger element. Like I remember Sabu had it, Jack Evans had it. Like, you'd be like, what are these guys going to do? I hope they're okay. A.R. Fox is one of those guys, and I don't know how he's holding up, but I see
remarkably
no
well.
Yeah, I see no visible wear and tear. It's insane. But, like, he is incredible, and I worry about him dearly as well. I mean, I remember the end of All-Star Weekend 9 – night two, the end of that six man, I showed that finish to so many freaking people because I'm like, this is like the territory where, you know, we're going to pull the tights and do a roll up finish and hopefully put that foot on the rope. I watched that finish and I lost my freaking mind. It was amazing. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, just absolute destruction. Like, if they pile drove him off the top rope through like five tables, might not even have been it was unbelievable. I loved it so much. And A.R. Fox is just going to take such an ass kicking from Michael Elgin, and it's going to be awesome. And A.R. Fox, God, you know, I remember when I first got down to Florida too, I was in a car ride with Dr. Tom, and he's like, well, where are the good wrestling schools these days aside? And I'm like, Mr. Hughes is pumping out some talent. And I remember him going, get the fuck out of the car right now. Cause like I was thinking of UHA Nation and AR Fox. And there's this other guy that I remember I met.
Jonathan Gresham?
No, he didn't come from there, but I think he did work. I think he worked with that company though too. But there was a guy named Stitch. There was like a lot of young, talented guys coming out of Atlanta.
Did Slater come out of there?
I don't think so either. But the weird thing was with he might have, but like it's just one of these things. They had a guy named Navy Blue. A guy came from Mr. Hughes' school to FCW, and his name was Navy Blue.
Because
he literally
the most ungoogleable name in as a professional.
Exactly. But he changed his name legally to Navy Blue, and he had blue hair, and he looked like he had blue hair. Like, it was just. So, like, that was, like, when they heard Mr. Hughes trainee, that was the first guy they thought about. And I'm not saying Navy Blue didn't do well or anything, but, like, I guess maybe he wasn't always the most coachable. But, like, I never met him. Could have been a really nice guy. I don't know. But it just amused me, the derision and the fierce anger of my good close personal friend. I love you, Dr. Tom Pritchard, when I just name-dropped Mr. Hughes as this, you know, new...
Maybe Mr. Hughes squashed him on an episode of Challenge.
Oh, you know what? I don't know, man. But I never brought his name up again after that. I was just like, all right, cool. But yeah, Mr. Hughes, you know, Mr. Hughes trainee AR Fox. I love it.
We've got a tag team match with the newly crowned ROH Tag Team Champions, also the IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions, the Forever Hooligans, Alex Kozlov and Rocky Romero, and they'll be taking on the Rock Nest Monster staples of PWG at this stage. And Excalibur will Kozlov and Romero be privileged with the opportunity to sing the Russian national anthem before the match?
Of course they will. They will be given every opportunity because, excellent. You know, I mean, this show, what do we have, eight, maybe nine, I can't tell. A lot of matches on this show. And so this is going to be another one of those 1-2 in the morning affairs. So, I mean, we might as well just embrace it and, you know, have a long-form performance of the Russian national anthem.
Rocky can sing the Cuban national anthem.
Yeah, yeah, everybody. And then the Rock Nest Monsters, they can perform their a cappella version of the Star Spangled Banner. Everybody will get it'll be like a proper K-1 show, like a K-1 New Year's Eve show where everybody gets like the long walk.
Will you have teenagers doing a kickboxing tournament?
Yeah, that'll be the dark match. It'll be the 15 and under kickboxing tournament, the All Valley kickboxing championships. And but yeah, so actually the funny thing about this match is if you look at it, this is a locals match. These are guys that have international experience. Obviously, Kozlov and Romero quite a bit much more than Rock Nest Monsters. But yeah, these are four guys that have are just homegrown Southern California talent, and these are four really awesome wrestlers. And that's the crazy part. And Rocky and Kozlov, they've been off the radar for a little while because, you know, they've been down in Mexico, they've been in Japan, and so, you know, indie fans here maybe not necessarily thinking of them, but they've always been super solid, and now with the, you know, just wrestling the level of talent that they have been for the last, you know, the last 6-8 months or whatever in Japan is just they're tremendous. And then the Rock Nest Monsters are guys that are, you know, I mean, they've been around. They've been having awesome matches with basically everybody we've put them in there with, and they're actually going through kind of like a heel turn identity crisis type thing. And the crowd is responding well for it. You know, they're not the same types of heels as the Young Bucks, but still, they're something just kind of happened where they took, you know, I mean, they found they weren't clicking as much, and they did what they needed to do to rekindle their relationship with the fans in Reseda. And that's, you know, I mean, that's what you have to do. I mean, it was smart by them.
And this website will be officially backing the Forever Hooligans team in this match because their new entrance music performed by Rocky Romero gives a shout out to one Dave Meltzer for the lyrics. So we will have to be supporting them. And then in the next match, it won't be a match. Shades of Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude. It'll be the first ever PWG pose down between Brian Cage and Anthony Nice. And this could go either way. Like, this is you'd have to give maybe Nice the edge on the abs, but Cage might have the bigger shoulders. This is going to be a tough one.
Brian Cage is, I mean, he gets bigger and more defined every time I see him. And I mean, it's really weird. Like, it's a cliche in wrestling, muscles on top of muscles, but he really does. I mean, he's just like the veins in his muscles are developed, and it's so insane. And the thing is, he hasn't lost any of his ability. That's the crazy part. He's still doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And then Anthony Nice making his PWG debut. It's, you know, I mean, I guess the pose down aspect, maybe not something that I thought about until now, but you know what? I don't think the fans would be upset with that.
Yeah, you got to get him those bar. I forget what they're called, but I remember when Warrior and Rude did their pose down, they had that bar that Rude would stretch, and he ended up hitting Warrior in the head with it.
Yeah,
you got to get a couple of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lex Flexer.
There you go. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you're right about old. Oh, God. I'm forgetting his name now. Not Tony Nese. Jesus.
Brian Cage.
Brian Cage?
Thank you. Brian Cage. Senior moment for me there. Brian Cage is insane. Like, seeing him live in front of you, it's insane. It's like, this is someone that has been around Mason Ryan and Pac on a regular basis, but like, just seeing Brian Cage in front of you, it's just like, are you, what kind of genetics? It's just insane. And like, I've not seen him in the weight room, but I'm sure it's something else. Like, it's just,
you worked out with Mason Ryan?
I have not worked out with Mason Ryan or Young Pac, but like, I always like it that they're friends, though. It's always like, you know, Big Mason Ryan and Young Pac are international buddies. But, yeah, it's insane. Like, Brian Cage is so ripped to shreds, it's out of control. And then Tony Nese, I'm really excited for him to get a shot in PWG, too, because I'm a big fan of his as well. And, you know, from the NYWC school, you know, like Beretta and John Silver and Alex Reynolds. There's like a whole bunch of guys, fresh young guys, coming out of, you know, New York area. And, you know, it's always exciting to see, like I said, new talent coming to PWG and hopefully, you know, igniting that spark and getting over like crazy. And then, you know, new superstars are born. But I'm really excited for that match, too, for sure. And the pose down will indeed be epic, no doubt.
And this card just gets deeper and deeper. This could be the sleeper of the whole show. Kyle O'Reilly versus TJ Perkins. Two of the best technical wrestlers, and not like in a kind of like a boring technical wrestler, Matt Stryker kind of way. Not that Matt Stryker, but in like a fast-paced, exciting technical wrestling style. These guys are maybe two of the best going at it. Both of like experience, like doing different forms of grappling and stuff, and they just the stuff these guys do on the mat and other stuff they'll do, and not all just like mat based stuff with these guys. They'll just do crazy strike exchanges, even some flying, and these guys are just made to wrestle each other. I can't wait to see this.
It's, you know, it's crazy that it's this. It's not a match that. You know, like the old saying, this could be a main event in any building in the world. This is not necessarily that type of match, but it's a match that will make any show exponentially better. You know, it's these are two guys that are, I mean, they are like, I think the term that comes to mind is they're slick grapplers. You know, it's like they're so fluid and so just so smooth, and they're able to just transition into a million things. And it's like they're sharing a mind when they're grappling. And then, to have that ability and to have that just come so naturally, it's such a crazy thing to watch. And, you know, I mean, as a guy that was a former wrestler, it's infuriating because this is something that I never could have done. Even on my best day, the stuff that they're capable of, the these fluid exchanges and stuff like that are just it's so amazing that I mean it's a pleasure, it's a real pleasure to watch, just because it's guys that are taking professional wrestling as an art form and doing it the best that you'll probably ever see it done.
Yeah, when you said those two names, the first two words that came to my mind were just silky smooth. Like, they're just so freaking smooth. And TJ Perkins has been around for quite a long time, and he is so adept at grappling and just chaining things together. And like, I'm one of the best guys I've seen and worked with recently is obviously Tyson Kidd. And I know they were around each other in the early part of the decade of 2000s. And, you know, TJ Perkins reminds me a lot of him, and to me, you need someone like that who just knows these grappling techniques on any show, because then it's just like a whole other element. Like, I love the idea of like a wrestling show having something for everyone, and what an unbelievable, you know, boost to any show to have guys like, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, who's another wizard on the mat and can just do unbelievable things. And, like, I remember when you guys announced TJ Perkins against Samurai Del Sol. I lost my mind because I'm just
awesome
like –
awesome match.
Because I loved when TJ Perkins and Rocky and Ricky Reyes and Bobby Quantz went to Mexico and worked with, like, V-Rus and Ricky Marvin and – God, the other name escapes me. But, like –
was it Volador?
There you go. Junior, and they had like these unbelievable six-man matches, and I just love the melding of grappling with, you know, good pure lucha. And like another match from those All-Star Weekend Nines, I can't say this DVD's name freak enough on this show, but like All-Star Weekend Nine, Night One and Two is just so good because like I said, melding of those two styles, it gets no better. And you know, this is again just going to be such a good little match on the show, and it would main event any arena in the world. Like, I'm so excited for it. Like, I'm really.
Rob's about to announce the main event of his first show.
No. But like, it's so good. So like, I'm really excited for that match too. And like, there's so much on this show that like, you know, so many fun little hidden gems all over the place here. It's just crazy to think about.
Yeah, that's the hard part is there. I mean, there's so many great matches like this that kind of get lost in the shuffle. And that's, you know, but I mean, you know, when you just look at it on paper, it's like, oh, this is great. But, you know, when you actually see it, then I think there will be things that, you know, this match had this awesome sequence. This other match had this great pose down where you hit him with the Lex Flex. But yes. And sorry, Alan, continue.
Well, to round things out, we have, a match which is so identifiable with PWG, six-person tag featuring some of the most the most familiar I'm completely failing on the word I want to use to describe these people in this match, but it's people that are beloved by the PWG crowd from the local scene that have been around PWG for a long time. Joey Ryan making his return. Pretty Peter Avalon, who's just so awesome and underrated. Ryan Taylor, who I've always been impressed with. And they'll take on the team of Willie Mack. Everyone just adores that guy. B-Boy, who's been on fire since he came back to PWG. His match with Drake Younger was awesome last year. And I suppose you would say Miss PWG. And the person who I'd say might be Joey Ryan's biggest rival, Candice LeRae. And I'm so excited to get to see Joey and Candice clash after a few years of no matches with those two, and they're always just so entertaining against each other in the ring.
You know, at one point we were considering doing like a steel cage match with Joey and Candice. Still might happen. Maybe I just spoiled everything. But yeah, it was, you know, it's funny because, you know, Joey is. You know, he's coming back. His tenure in TNA has ended, you know, with mixed results. I think it was not, and, you know, I hate to be speaking for him, but, you know, I don't think it's ultimately where he wanted to be. But I think, you know, he was a good fit. It was just – it was literally a case of, well, you know, creative has nothing for you. And, you know, I think if they had put their minds to it, I think Joey is you know, he's infinitely capable, and he could have done anything that they gave him. But it's just they were so worried about so many other things that they, you know, they just didn't have time to think about, you know, and really this has been endemic with TNA for a long time. They don't have time to think about the guys that are on the undercard, the kind of the X division, the smaller guys. It's like they'll do little things, and they'll have, you know, there'll be guys like Aries that kind of break out of the mold, but for the most part, I think they have a lot of trouble booking guys that are not, or booking four guys that are not, you know, 6.5 feet tall, that are, you know, just solid slabs of granite.
Yeah, totally.
And then also Bubba Dudley.
Jesus. I totally agree with all that. Joey Ryan. I didn't watch TNA, unfortunately, during my last 2 years. Like, every Thursday, they're on Thursday, so like every Thursday.
I'd love to say you missed that.
Yeah. Every Thursday, I'd be at my own little NXT shows and NXT TVs and stuff, but like, I don't feel like I missed anything, and I'm not, no discredit to anyone there, it's just like,
no
to me,
discredit to TNA, but Rob Naylor couldn't be bothered to set his DVR. He could not record TNA.
There it was. Like, I saw when Ares won the title, and I thought it was incredible. And, like, obviously there were friends of mine that were there, and I was really happy for them, and they're doing good. But, like, it's just a lot to just take in all that was always happening there. And it's one of those deals where, as a promotion, the promotion as a whole, just even though I wasn't watching consistently, you read about it, and it just seems like they have all these ideas and these things that are happening, but then they just drop them. Like, there was never any end game for a lot of the stuff. Like, Aces and Eights, when I first heard about it, sounded great on paper. And then, like, it just seemed like it was, like, the NWO D team at the end of the day. And just, you know what I mean? And, like, now when I heard Luke Gallows got let go, it's just like, good for him, freshen up. When I heard, not, these guys are out of the TNA job. It's like, no, good. Sometimes being let go.
To do something better.
Yes. Sometimes, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. Being let go is not the end of the world. There's so much out there to do. And sometimes when you're let go, you could just creatively then do something else, recharge the batteries, you know, get back on the indies, you know.
Look at all the Young Bucks have done since they left TNA.
Exactly. Exactly. And look at, we mentioned him earlier, Alex Kozlov, the former Peter Orlov. I mean, he was in developmental, and I thought he was awesome. He was one of the people, when he got released, I was stunned. I was stunned. I didn't understand it. And at the time, I'm sure he took it hard, and I remember, like, feeling really bad. But, like, my God, he's gone to Mexico. He's gone to Japan. He's reinvigorated his entire career. And, like, New Japan, I just talked to Harry Smith last night. I mean, New Japan is freaking awesome. And, like, aside from PWG, like, what a great thing New Japan's got going. Because, like, before they went on iPay-Per-View, like, I don't think I remembered the last New Japan show I watched that wasn't, like, a Super Juniors match. You know what I mean? So, like, now they're having these shows, and the Gaijin are doing really well, and they're loving wrestling again, and they're coming back and working PWG, and, like, stateside. So, like, good, you know? Like, I'm so excited about that. But, like, again, the wheel keeps turning, you know what I mean? I feel like Dusty now. Wheel keeps turning, baby. But, like, it does. Like, there's so much more out there. And, like, Joey Ryan back in PWG, I love it. I'm down. Like, I'm excited for this match. The rekindling of the feud with Candace and Joey. And, you know, hopefully we'll get a scaffold match. I don't know what's going to happen.
A scaffold match would be amazing.
Candace like leaping up the top and being ready, and Joey being all trepidatious, like he's about to do a shooting star in FMW, and just like nervously climbing up and crossing himself. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you know we couldn't have a PWG anniversary show without the crazy six person match, and this is these are guys that. They're great local guys. It's just, you know, and when you put any combination of them together, you know they're going to have a good match. And so you put all six of them together and, you know, just to kick off the show, the energy that they'll bring, I think, will set the tone for the entire night. And I think it'll be outstanding.
Well, then, of course, when all is said and done with the anniversary show, you guys will move on. It'll be a quick turnaround to the last weekend of August, Friday, August 30th, the Battle of Los Angeles. A little earlier this year, as DDT4 was, and I assume that was just like a scheduling thing, getting the people you wanted when they're available. And my God, so far, the first 11 names, it's been hit out of the park. The one thing I noticed looking at this is a lot of guys, first Battle of Los Angeles, and some of the guys making their debut in Bolo will be ACH, Trent Beretta, Anthony Nice, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and A.R. Fox. And two of those names, Ciampa and ACH, it will be their PWG debut. And Excalibur, how much of those guys have you seen, and what is it about them that you're excited about seeing them come to PWG?
Well, ACH, I think like a lot of people became familiar with him just through YouTube and seeing him do, you know, crazy stuff. And there was a lot of word of mouth. And so, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I mean, it's guys like him, like A.R. Fox, like a lot of these guys, it's just they're guys that we've been looking at for a long time that we just never had a place for. And so, you know, having Generico and Sammy and, you know, Hiro and Claudio even, you know, move on, it does open up spots for these other guys that, you know, we've been keeping our eye on for a long time. And so it's really cool to be able to give them an opportunity. And if you look at, Bola's past, you know, having guys debut in Bola is not necessarily completely unprecedented. The biggest that comes to mind is Kenny Omega, and you know he did quite well for himself after making his debut at Bola. And so I think it's, you know, even though it's kind of you know, I mean, maybe not our WrestleMania, but it's, you know, it's probably our most, you know, our most well-known show. And so there's a lot of pressure riding on that. But I think all those guys that you named, that this is their first Bola, and for ACH and Ciampa especially, I think they're, you know, they know what they're getting into. There's no surprises here. And I think we're going to see a lot of cool stuff out of them.
Other more familiar names on the list and so far, Davey Richards, Michael Elgin, Kyle O'Reilly, and Brian Cage and Chuck Taylor. So that's the first 11 guys we got so far. And the other five will be named after the anniversary show, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how it's all rounded out. It's a 16-man tournament, two nights, so you'll be getting all kinds of pairings and matchups, and it should be really great fun. I can't wait for Bola this year. It's always a highlight of the wrestling calendar.
Yeah, and I mean it's something that is, you know, like it's a challenge to keep fresh every year, because, you know, I mean the format has varied from year to year, from some years to some years. But typically, you know, it's a 16-man tournament, and you know maybe not so much now, but in the past there were a lot of 16-man tournaments going on. And so to keep it fresh, and, you know, I think by bringing in, you know, ACH and, you know, these guys that, like, this is their first Bola, you know, Gargano and AR Fox, it does keep the matches fresh, and it keeps, it gives, like, you know, like last year with Elgin and Cole in the finals, I don't think anybody expected that. And I think it gives us an opportunity to do things like that, where you kind of, you know, you forge new stars. You give these guys the opportunity to excel, and give them the opportunity to basically win over the crowd. And not only that, win over us as the guys that are actually running the shows. And so there's a lot of cool stuff I think we've got planned for Bola this year.
Yeah.
Rob, any Bola thoughts from you?
Yeah, I'm really excited for all those new names involved, ACH in particular. I haven't seen that much of ACH, but what I have seen I've really enjoyed, and I think he's going to be someone that's going to benefit.
His charisma with that Reseda crowd is going to be off the charts.
Yeah. And Ciampa's another one who's really underrated, and obviously Tony Nese is going to really open eyes, I think, on August 9th. And who am I forgetting?
Gargano's first bowler.
Trent Gargano.
God, Trent and
AR Fox.
I'm just excited to see who Trent ends up wrestling. I mean, Trent has so many fresh matches that he can do on the indies, and he's just he reminds me a lot of Brian Kendrick in a way that he can do some spectacular things, but he's just such a leader and a ring general, and I'm just really, really excited to see him mix it up with literally anybody on the roster. You know, put him in with, you know, anybody, and it's going to be just Rick Knox. It's going to be amazing. So, like, I'm excited. I'm excited to see that. And I'm excited to see who else ends up in this mix, too. You know, the element of surprise is in effect here, so I'm excited to see how PWG surprises us yet again with these last names. So.
Well, for all your Pro Wrestling Guerrilla needs, ProWrestlingGuerrilla.com. You can get the tickets for these shows. You can get merchandise, the DVDs. There's a message board up there. Everything you want for PWG, check it out there. The Twitter is official PWG. And a lot of the matches have been match announcements have been broken on Twitter recently. So that's been a nice little platform for you guys to make your announcements. And guys, before we go, I want to throw you a little curveball, knowing the wrestling geeks that you are, both like myself. I'm very excited because the next 2 weeks of my life are work is going to be ignored, family life is going to be ignored. My health and well-being will be ignored because my soul My sole thing that I will be thinking about and doing for next 2 weeks is watching the G1 Climax. 9 shows in 11 days, all live, for me to be able to watch. It's G1 season. And I know in your time, guys, both of you have probably seen a G1 show or a G1 match or two. And Excalibur, maybe a G1 memory that you have, or maybe your first time hearing about what this G1 Climax is that they do over in Japan.
Well, I think my first... what was it? It was the year... it was Hashimoto and... Oh, shit. No, I'm sorry. I got to look it up. Hashimoto and Muto? No, it was Hashimoto and Tenryu that they were in the quarterfinals. It was 1998, and it was like when Tenryu first left, and that was... God damn it.
Didn't they just, like, wasn't that just a match where they, like, to beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah, that was it, and they just completely, like, clobbered each other, and it was so brutal.
How unlike that.
I know. And, you know, Shinya Hashimoto, it was, you know, like, oh, what, him passing away was so tragic for, I mean, so many reasons, but I mean, just the fact that he was such an amazing wrestler at the time, and then, you know, just breaking off to 0-1, they were doing so many cool things, and then, you know, it was such a, I don't want to say lost opportunity, but, you know, it was such a loss for wrestling to lose somebody like Hashimoto. And, you know, he was always kind of one of my favorites. And then I remember, a few years ago, or more than a few years ago, Koji Kanemoto making his kind of graduation to the heavyweight division. He competed in the G1. I think as most of the time when junior heavyweights get in the G1, they go probably 0 for 8 or whatever it is, or they'll win like one match or something like that. But still, it was cool to see him kind of.
He got to the semis. Him and Nagata had a match at Sumo Hall, and it was like if Nagata won, he'd get into the semis, and Kojima just had to get a draw. If it finished a draw, Kojima will qualify. And it was so dramatic because they went to a 30-minute draw, and it was like Kojima holding out for the last few minutes just to make it through. I love that match.
Yeah, there's so many cool things.
I kept saying Kojima, Kanemoto.
Yeah. But this year, the fact that there's so many guys that you know that we know that are in it, I think makes it really special. You know, Carl Anderson last year had an amazing match with Okada in the finals.
Oh my god, that match! Have you seen the full version of that match, or just the one from the TV?
Just the one from TV. I haven't seen the full version, but
I should try and get that to you somehow. It's even more incredible.
You know, I mean, the thing about me is like I don't, you know. Wrestling is I've said this in my past appearances, it's not as important for me in my life as it once was to actually watch wrestling. You know, I'll watch guys that we're looking at or we're thinking about, but just my kind of recreational viewing is not so much there. But, you know, when something like that comes along, you know, with Carl Anderson, then Okada's a guy that he's just kind of in the last, you know, the last few years, he's just kind of erupted and just become this, I mean, he's a bona fide superstar. And so to have that kind of match with, you know, a guy that I've watched him and Joey Ryan team up, and you know, they were doing like the Border Patrol stuff or the Real American Hero gimmicks in, you know, against Lucha guys in like deep Texas. There was all sorts of stuff like that. And so to see him graduate to the point where he's, you know, in the G1 finals, that's so crazy.
Yeah, and Rob, your boy Ibushi's in it this year.
Yeah.
Yes. What are some of your G1 memories?
My G1, I remember like 91 and 92. I get the NWA title tournament confused with it sometimes, but 91 and 92, I just remember like Hase and Muto and Chono and Kensuke were all just really young and hungry and like just killing it. And Hashimoto obviously was in the mix too, but I think they had Arn Anderson and Stunning Steve Austin was in a G1. I only remember that because more recently Summer Rae was looking for a cutoff against Paige. I just remember, I'm like, well, try the divorce court. What's the divorce court? I'm like, here, Arn Anderson does it to Steve Austin here. I'm like, go to Sarah Del Rey and have her teach you this immediately. So, like, I just remember that from the G1. Arn Anderson against Stone Cold, or Arn Anderson against Stunning Steve's great match. Check it out if you haven't. There's a divorce court in it. But, like, aside from that, Rick Rude, I think, was in it, and he tore it up with Haase.
Yeah, he was in the final, 92 final.
Yeah, I love that one, because Dusty and Bill Watts are at ringside with, like, I think Jim Barnett the whole show, and it's awesome just to watch that going down. Like,
Dave Meltzer's in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, such a fun, pivotal, you know, 1992 was the first time I ever went to California, actually, but I just remember it being such a fun summer for wrestling, and, like, you know, Japanese wrestling, you know, included, and that's a good memory. The more recent stuff, I mean, as you said, you know, I'm excited for this year's G1 because Shibata's my dude. I love Shibata. He's going to kick the shit out of Harry Smith, and it's going to be awesome. And Harry Smith is going to give it right back to him. It's going to be so good. And Ibushi in the mix is amazing. Like, Kanemoto.
Ibushi's main eventing the Osaka show at Nakamura.
Yeah.
He's going to do something completely insane in that match. He's in a main event of a New Japan show in Osaka, like in a big building. What the fuck's he going to do?
And much like Excalibur said, like, I love the idea of, like, a junior heavyweight, like Kanemoto, and it was so cool. And, like, a guy like Ibushi just up in that mix is just amazing. And
Devitt in there, too.
And Devitt in there as well. And, like, Devitt's almost, to me, like, he's a junior, but, like, he's a heavyweight, you know? And he's another guy I wanted so bad in NXT. You don't even understand. I could talk for days about me and Regal trying to get older. But, like, he's so awesome. Prince Devitt is freaking unbelievably awesome. And I saw him on the pay-per-view the other day, and it was so cool. He's got the entrance. I'm a huge Bullet Club fan. Like, hell yeah to all that. Yeah, and Ibushi is just so good. Ibushi is an – I remember at WrestleMania sitting with Canyon Steve, and I'm like, hire Kenny Omega and Ibushi immediately. Hire, you know, there's a thing called, you know, like Rosetta Stone. I don't care. These two are the best guys in the – like, huge fan of Ibushi, gigantic Omega fan. Here's a question for you, Excalibur. Do you know, were you guys ever thinking of doing any kind of pairing between Ibushi, Omega, Generico, and Pac? Because that is my dream four-way or dream tag team match, and I know you guys would have been the only company that could have probably pulled it off.
We tried so hard to get Ibushi.
Oh, my God, you're killing me telling me that.
It just, the timing never worked out. That was the crazy part, because the DDT schedule was, you know, it was so busy. And, you know, when Omega, you know, this was before, I think this was before he started living over there, you know, whatever it is, like, it's like, mm-hmm. It's like 11 months out of the year that he's living over there now or something. It's something crazy. But, this, you know, he was still coming back regularly. And so we're still trying to do it. And I think, you know, at one point we wanted to do them versus the Young Bucks, I think would have been phenomenal.
Oh, Jesus. Stop now. I'm losing my mind. And that still could happen. Oh, my God. Don't even.
Hey, Ibushi's main eventing Sumo Hall against Okada for DDT's show. You know about that?
Yeah, I do know about that. It's incredible. To me, it's so cool that Ibushi and Omega are kind of underutilized over here, and it only makes them more special. So when indeed they come in, it's going to be so cool. But, like, yeah, very cool to hear that, because that I remember going up to even Pac and being like, man, I really wish you would have wrestled Ibushi once in your career, because that just seems like magic to me. So, like,
they were nearly tag team partners for Chikara / WXW Tag World Grand Prix that they did in Germany about, I'd say, 5-6 years ago, and Ibushi, like, got injured or something before, and he was actually replaced by someone you will know, Rob. I forget what name he's going by now, but the former Martin Stone is over there.
Oh, Danny Burch, yes.
Danny Burch, yeah. He replaced, and I remember they did an interview, and they did an interview backstage on the show, and it was Martin Stone and Pac, and Stone was like, some Japanese fellow was coming into the team. What was his name? Was it what? And Pac's like, Ibushi. He's like, Ibushi. Oh, well, he's out. I'm in, and we're gonna be much better.
Wow, that's a really good Danny Burch impression, by the way. That's right. Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's another one that.
Jog on, mate.
Yeah, anyone else that watches NXT, which is a great show, by the way, you should check it out. But if you watch NXT, you know, look for Danny Burch, aka Martin Stone, because he's another guy that's going to be on the radar real soon. He's excellent. But great show! I feel so pumped up and happy and really in a good mood talking about wrestling right now. This is
hell awesome. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure, and we will make this a free show, so everyone's going to be able to hear this. And for any of you who are listening to this that aren't subscribers to WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com, I encourage you to check it out, a one-month subscription. Check the place out, see all that's on offer, all the different radio shows, all the newsletters from Dave and Brian, message board, all that kind of stuff. Carl Stern has been doing like a show every day or something crazy on the history of wrestling for the last couple of weeks. That's well worth checking out. And so a lot on offer on the website. I'm sure if anyone checks it out, they'll really like it. That's my plug. Excalibur, if you have any other plugs to throw out there.
I'd just like to talk about Tweaked Audio Earbuds. They're I'm hoping that they send me a crate just like they do Cabana. But no, seriously, if you are listening to this show and you somehow got an hour and a half in and are not familiar with Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, ProWrestlingGuerrilla.com, as Alan mentioned, at OfficialPWG on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. You could find us there, or you could just look us up on YouTube. Look up we do previews a couple days after the show's end, and they're pretty well received. I think they were as Rob had mentioned before, and keep watching wrestling, keep watching us, keep watching good wrestling, and keep good wrestling, keep it going.
And Rob, any plugs from you, sir?
Yeah, I'd like to plug NXT. Watch NXT. I'm not there anymore, but I have no hard feelings. God bless them. I love it. I gave my heart to that place, and there's a lot of talent there, and I'm proud of all of them. And check out XSELive.com. We got MMA Unleashed. It's XSE Live is the parent company, but MMA Unleashed is a bunch of amateur MMA fights that we're scheduling. We had a show in Punta Gorda in June, and packed house for that. We're going to mix celebrity with mixed martial arts, and we got some autograph signing and meet and greets coming up. So check that website for more information.
Did also, you say SXE?
XSE. Oh. Yeah.
Because SXE Live is like a phone sex site.
Oh, yeah, well, no, that would be a whole different thing. XSE Live. And then also – triple shot of shows, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. There'll be more about that coming up. Pro wrestling in Florida, and I will be involved trying my hand at booking for the first time, so that should be quite an interesting weekend for me, but I'm really excited about things, and I love wrestling, and all.
Are you bringing
good.
In Manny Fernandez?
You know what? He called the office. I can't lie. I may or may not have interacted with Manny Fernandez. But, it's going to be like Christmas. Lots of surprises. Going to continue to help grow and develop talent, and I just love doing it. And, you know, thank you, everybody, that had kind words to say about my departure from NXT, too, because I appreciated all that. So.
Hashtag thank you, Naylor.
Oh, there you go. I heard it trended. Yeah.
Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. I have had an absolute blast in the show. I hope everyone who's listened to it has enjoyed it too. And we will, of course, have Excalibur back on talking PWG in the future. And we may even try and coerce Rob into doing a show every now and then as well. So, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back on the DKP very soon, possibly in the next couple of days. So keep an eye out for that. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.